V'ata achel edaber b'ma shekivanti lo. The Rambam says, now I'm able to return to our original topic, which is what is the ultimate schar and what is the ultimate punishment for people who keep or who do not keep the Torah. V'ata achel edaber b'ma shekivanti lo. Have yodea, says the Rambam. You should know. Ki kemosh lo yasek asuma ein hatzivoyim, just like the blind person is not able to experience color. And the deaf person is not able to experience sounds. And a eunuch is not able to experience marital relation pleasure. So too, says the Rambam, a physical entity, a physical person, is not able to truly experience the enjoyment of the soul. Ukmosha had dagim, einam yodim yisod ha'esh, lefisha yosim b'yisod shuhofcho. Just like fish don't know anything about, they don't have any experience with fire because they exist in a reality that is the opposite of fire, that can't have any interaction with fire. They live in the water, and fire cannot be within the water. It's impossible. Kain ein noda b'zeh olam hagufani, so too in this physical world, you can't possibly know tanoga olam haruchani. A person can't possibly relate to the spiritual enjoyment of the spiritual world. Aval ein etzleinu b'shem panim tanog zulasi tanog haguf b'vada, and we can really only experience physical pleasures. We can experience the sensual feelings of food and drink or relations. But anything else, these are things that, in regards to us, are just outside of the realm of possibility. We don't have any way to relate to it. And we can't even intellectually begin to understand it unless we first analyze and research the topic greatly, meaning with great intellectual, through great intellectual involvement of trying to understand spiritual pleasure, we might be able to begin to scratch the surface, but it's certainly not something that's natural to us. And this is not a problem, this is normal, this is natural, because we live in a physical world. And therefore it makes sense that we should only be able to relate to physical pleasures if we're in a physical world. But when we speak about spiritual pleasures, there are things that are constant, there are things that don't lend themselves to decomposition or to cessation, which are physical things. Physical things all cease at some point. They all break down and disintegrate at some point. That's the nature of physical things. But spiritual things transcend those qualities. And that's why there isn't any common ground between physical pleasures and spiritual pleasures. And they don't really have any overlap. And therefore, for us, who are people who try to live by and study Torah, or even by people who are theologians, who are philosophers, not necessarily Jewish, but people who are trying to understand the divine, and therefore it's not really appropriate for us to say that spiritual entities in our world, whether it's angels or stars, and again, here we mean some type of angelic identity that the Rambam associates with the celestial spheres. Ein lem tanug. We shouldn't say about them, oh, they don't have any enjoyment. Aval be'emes yesh lem tanug. Now, they might not have our tanug, but it's not appropriate to say they don't, because they do. And it's gadol ma'od b'mesh shem yodim ma'asigim ha'misos ha'bor yisborach, because they have some type of recognition of the truth of who God is. U'bezehim b'tanug t'midi she'en nifsok. And this is a never-ending enjoyment. Now again, even when we use the word enjoyment, it's not an appropriate word, because when we say enjoyment, we mean a piece of steak and a nice cold drink, and we mean just lie on a beach in the sun. That's what we associate immediately Tana with physical pleasure, and that's not what we're talking about. But Malachim and other spiritual beings, so they have some type of recognition of who Hashem is, and this gives them an intense Tanug. Ain't Tanug Gufani Yetzlam. It's not a physical pleasure, because they don't have that. They Masigim also, and they can't experience that. Lefisha Ein Lam Chushim Kimono. They don't have senses like us. They don't have physical attributes like us. And therefore they can't experience a steak or a good drink or a beach. They can't experience that. But that doesn't mean that they don't have Tanuk. When we eventually reach some type of some place after life, and we go to we go up to the spiritual world after our death. We're also not going to have the tanug of the guf. And we're not going to want them. Can you imagine a king who's now in the top position? He's ruling the entire kingdom. What, he's going to want to strip himself of his malchus? And of his, he's going to give up all of his power, relinquish all of his power. Is he ever going to want to strip himself of that power and that prestige and play stickball in the streets with the kids? It's true, when he's older and he sees the kids, he might pine for the simplicity of younger life. But he's not going to really want to go down to that juvenile fun. Even though obviously when he was young, he enjoyed that very much. You know, when he was a young prince, he might not have wanted to be in the palace. He might have preferred to be in the streets playing with all the quote-unquote regular kids. But now that he's older, he's not going to want that same tanug that he had when he was a kid more than the malchus. Because when he was younger, he didn't appreciate the difference between playing ball and being the king. And it's like that king as a young prince, that's like us, that we continue, unfortunately, to think that the greatest joys in life are a good steak and leather seats in our car. And we don't recognize the greatness of tanugi hanefesh, spiritual pleasures, over those tanugi haguf. But if a person thinks about the difference between spiritual pleasures and physical pleasures, if you really think about it intelligently and you are able to disconnect yourself from the tanugei haguf, so you'll immediately recognize the value of spiritual pleasures over physical pleasures. And we even are able to relate to it a little bit in this world. Again, we can't really connect to spiritual pleasures, but there are certain pleasures of this world that are closer to spiritual pleasures than physical pleasures. And we can right away recognize the value of those over physical pleasures. V'zeki anu motzim rov b'nei adam kulam miyagim nafshoseim v'gufoseim b'amel v'yagiyash ein l'may l'mehem. We ourselves know, we see, that there are many people who expend a tremendous amount of effort, whether it's psychological or whether it's physical. They work very, very hard because they want prestige or they want honor. And that they should be looked up to in people's eyes. People should hold them on a high level. This is not a pure physical pleasure. Certainly not eating or drinking. There are many people that will give up lunch, or they'll eat a quick sandwich and give up on preparing a piece of steak because they're trying to advance themselves, the prestige of their position in the office. There are even people who will choose, at great expense, to exact vengeance, to get revenge against their enemy. They won't spend that same effort to get some type of physical pleasure. They won't spend that money to go on vacation and sit in the sun and relax, but to get revenge against someone they will. You know, it doesn't give them physical pleasure. And there are many people who forego some of the greatest physical pleasures, because they fear that they're going to be, that people are going to know about it and they'll be embarrassed. But why? If physical pleasure is the greatest thing, why would you forego physical pleasure just because it's going to be embarrassing? Who cares if it's embarrassing? But we see that, no, lefishim avagi she'elo shem tov. People want a good name, they want a good reputation. That's more important to them. And they recognize the value of that over a physical pleasure. V'im inyano kein b'olam hazeh gufani. If this is true in the physical world, that we're already willing to give up certain physical pleasures in order to get some things that are me'ein a spiritual pleasure, that they are have some element of spiritual pleasure to them. Kol shekein b'olam haruchani b'olam haba. Certainly in the spiritual realm, which is olam haba. Shenaf shosenu maskilos sham yediyas habar yisbarach, where our souls are enlightened with knowledge of God. Just like there are spiritual beings that experience that. And there's no way that we can break it down or describe or even create a parable that will help us understand that ultimate tanuk of knowledge of God in the next world. Gedulas hatov ahu. Just like David HaMelech, when he was trying to understand that greatness that waits for people who live a life of service of Hashem. What does it say in Tehillim Ma'arav Tuvcha Asher Tzafant Dereyacha? How great is the good that you have hidden away for those who fear you. V'chein Amru Aleim HaShalom. And the Rambam is now going to quote a Gemara in Brachos, which he's going to use, he's going to analyze it for the remainder of his discussion here. Gemara in Brachos tells us in Daf Yud Zayin, Olam Haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtiya v'lo rechitza v'lo sika v'lo tashmish. In Olam Haba, you don't have the pleasures that we have in this world. You might recognize these from Yom Kippur. Eating and drinking, or washing ourselves, or anointing ourselves with oils, v'lo tashmish, or marital intimacy. None of that stuff exists in Olam Haba. Ela tzadikim yoshvim v'atroseim b'rosheim, rather the tzadikim sit with crowns on their heads, v'nenim eziv ha'shchina, and they experience and they enjoy the light of the Shechina, the radiance of presence of Hashem. Rotzu lomar ba'omru v'atroseim b'rosheim, what does it mean that they sit there with crowns on their heads? What, we're sitting there with physical crowns? No. That means, says the Rambam, hish'arus ha'nefesh b'kima muskala. That means the continued existence of the soul with the knowledge that it is acquired. Now the Rambam says, V'heyos hi v'hu davar echad. So the Rambam is going to, there's going to be, over the next few lines here, the Rambam is going to be developing an idea. So again, atrasam b'roshayim doesn't mean that they wear physical crowns. It's rather hisharos hanefesh b'kiyam ha-muskala. It's the continued existence of the soul after death, which happens because of that which it has gained an intellectual perception of. Ve'yos hi v'hu davar echad, because it has become one with the object of its perception. Kimo shezachru gedolei ha-filosofim b'darkam, b'drachim, yerach b'yurim b'kan. As has been explained by philosophers in many ways that would take a very long time, and it's not appropriate to discuss it here. So we'll clarify what that means in a second. V'amru v'nenem miziv ha'shchina rotzalom r'sh'osan ha'nefash ha'neshamos mis'angos b'meh shemasigos v'yodos me'amitos ha'bar yisbarach. That, what does it mean that they're nenin? They're nenin, they enjoy, because the soul gets enjoyment from its acquisition and its knowledge of Hashem. K'mo she mis'angos chayos ha'kodesh v'shar madrigos ha'malachim, just like the different angelic creatures, the Chayos HaKodesh and other angelic creatures, b'meshehem masigim v'yodim mimitziyuso. So the Rambam here makes reference to a concept that he develops in some of his other, in other writings as well, where the Rambam says that when a person gets an intellectual perception of something and he truly, truly understands it, so there is a unity that has formed between him and the object that he is gaining this perception of. Where the maskil and the muskal, the maskil, the one who understands, and the muskal, the object that is being understood, unite through this knowledge. And this is what the Rambam says it means, v'atrosem b'roshem, that they're wearing crowns. It means that the knowledge, and that's why it's a crown, because it's something that adorns the head, which is where the mind is. Atrosem b'roshem means that the soul unites, a person unites with God through understanding God. And that way, after a person's physical body passes, his soul, though, has already gained, in this world even, some type of perception of Hashem, and therefore is linked with Hashem. And because Hashem is eternal and Hashem continues to exist, so the person is also able to continue to exist through this perception that he has of Hashem. That is what ensures for him his continued existence after life. And that is what Olam Haba, we start to get an understanding of what Olam Haba is, because Olam Haba is that continued existence that was initiated through getting some, even if it's a simple, understanding of Hashem in this world. Certainly, a person is limited in this world, how much he's able to understand Hashem. But even the basic understanding already creates a chibur, it already creates a connection between a person and Hashem, because of the perception that a person has of Hashem. And therefore, when a person's physical body passes, his soul and his mind is already united with Hashem, who exists forever. So the Rabbah continues, Hine, ki hatova v'atachlis ha'achron hu la'giya el ha'chevra ha'liyona ha'zos. Because the ultimate purpose, the ultimate good, is to reach this chevra, this group of people. U'liyos b'kavod hazeh, and to reach this honor. V'kiyom ha'nefesh k'mo shebi'arnu ad ein sof k'kiyom ha'boryus baruch shu sibas kiyoma. This is what we just spoke about. The Rambam says that the continued existence of the soul after death and the eternal, Ad Ein Sof, the eternal existence of the soul after death is because of the Kiyum of the Bore, which is the Siba for the Kiyum of the soul. Lefisha Hisigo Sel, because the soul has gained, it's been Masig, it's gained an understanding of God. Kmo Shizbar B'Philosophia Rishona. The Rambam says that that's exactly the idea that we brought up a minute ago, that the eternal existence of the soul is on account of the acquisition of knowledge of God and God Himself, and the unification with God, and God Himself is eternal. And this is the ultimate good, this relationship, this connection. And there's no good that can be compared to it. That it can even be compared to it. How can you compare something which is eternal and everlasting to that which is finite? And this is what it says in the Torah, that you should keep the Torah in order so that it will be good for you and it will elongate your days. Chazal interpret. The Gemara in Kiddushin learns that what is Laman Yitav Lach? That it will be good for you? That means for the world that is forever good. The Olam Shekulo Tov, that is completely good. What does it mean, long life? Li'olam shekulo aruch. It means the world of continued existence, the world that is forever existing. V'hara'a hashlema, so therefore, that is the ultimate good. We started this piece in the Rambam. The Rambam asks, what is the ultimate good? The ultimate good is this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that ensures for you a continued existence forever. And what is the ultimate bad? V'hara'a hashlema, he should tikares hanefesh v'tovad. The ultimate evil is that your soul should not experience this continued existence. It should be cut off. And it shouldn't continue to exist after death. V'hu hakares hakasav v'torah. And this is what we refer to when we talk about kares, being cut off in the Torah. Certain sins that a person receives as a punishment, kares. Inyan hakaris hu shetovad hanefesh, that the soul is lost. Kmo shebe'aru v'amro, hikaris tikaris hanefesh ahi. That's what the pasuk says, that the soul will be ultimately cut off. V'amru, zechron levracha, hikaris bolam hazeh, tikaris bolam haba. That the double language, hikaris tikaris, implies a eternal cutting off, even the olam haba. V'nemar, v'haysa nefesh adonav, tsrura, Tzur HaChayim. And this is the concept that we have, HaYisa Nefesh, Adoni Tzurah B'Tzur HaChayim, that it should be bound in the internal bound of life, which we say, well, when somebody passes away, that the soul will forever be bound with Hashem. Hine kol mi shebachar v'hirgil b'tanugei aguf u'mas be'emes v'ov ha-sheker. Anyone who chooses, as his ultimate choice, the pleasures of the body, and he despises the truth, and he loves falsehood, nichros me'osa ma'ilus, and he'll be cut off from the ultimate good. V'yishoyer chomer nichros, and he will remain as a physical entity and cut off from any existence after this life, after his death. U'kfar bir ha'navi alav ha'shalom shalom abo eno masig musag v'chushim ha'gufaniyim. And the Navi has already told us, Yeshayahu has already told us, in the next pasuk we're about to quote, that Olam Haba is not something that we can grasp with our physical pleasures, physical senses. As it says, as the Navi says, Ayin lo rasa lo kimzu lo secha. No eye can see it. It's not perceptible to the eye, except you, Hashem, can see it. The Amru Befer Zeh in the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Kol Navim kulam lo niznabu'u el yimos ha-Mashiach. When all the Nevi'im spoke of all these great things that are going to happen, that was all speaking about Yemos HaMashiach, but that's not the ultimate good. The Nevi'im don't have descriptions of Olam Haba because they can't. So all their amazing descriptions that they have in Navi of the great, of the beauty, and the peace, and the tranquility, and the lamb will lie with the wolf, all of these are about Yemos HaMashiach, but Olam Haba, no eye has seen it except for you, Hashem. Nobody can perceive it. So the Rambam now, in a very important piece, the Rambam now tells us, or addresses, what then do we do with all of the seeming descriptions of reward and punishment that we find in the Torah? Omnam, says the Rambam, ha-yi'udim, ha-tovim, v'ha-nekamos ha-ros, all of the promises, the good things, and the nekamos haros, and the bad things, haksuvos batorah, in yonim humasha sapilach. Let me tell you what they mean. Because if you look in the Torah, it tells us that if you, we say in Kriya Shema, that if you do the mitzvos and listen to Hashem, so it will rain at the right time, and you'll be successful in your plantings. How do we understand that? Or what about all of the punishments that we find that will happen to a person? Right? In the Tochacha, it tells us that we'll be chased by our enemies, and we'll have hunger and disease. And on the other side, if we do good, so there'll be tremendous bracha. And when we will, God will bless our bread, and we will be healed. And how do we understand all these psukim? If the ultimate good is really Olam Haba, or kares, which means not getting that Olam Haba, that continued spiritual existence after death. If that's the ultimate good, how do you understand all these promises and all of these threats in the Torah? Who's that? Says the Rambam. Ki hu omer lecha, the Hashem tells us, im taseh ha-mitzvos o'ela, if you do the mitzvos, esayei lecha al asiyasin v'ashleimus bohen. If you're dedicated to doing the mitzvos, and you do the mitzvos, I will help you do them and succeed with them. V'asir me'alecha ma'ikim kulam, and I will remove from you all of these things that can cause you to fail in your pursuit of the mitzvos. All of these things can distract you from doing the mitzvos. L'fi she'adam yefshe lo lasos ha-mitzvos lo kishuchola v'ra'av otzameh. A person can't do the mitzvos if he's sick in bed, or if he's starving, or if he's thirsty. V'lo b'shas mochamu matzor, if there's a war going on, or there's a siege around his city, he can't go out and do mitzvos. V'lochein yod she'asuru kol elu anyanim. Therefore Hashem promises that he will remove all of these things. Ushiyabriyim, that you'll be healthy, ushketim, and you will live at peaceful times. Achatishlam lemayidiyah, in order so that you can achieve some level of shlemus with your knowledge of God. V'yizku l'chayelam abba. So the Rambam tells us here that all of the rewards and punishments that we normally associate, the good life that we normally associate with keeping mitzvos, those are all there in order to help us achieve the ultimate good. That the reward is that it allows us, it sets for us a stage. Hashem takes extra investment in us and tries to clear the path in order so that we can do more mitzvos and more mitzvos. Hinei, Because the ultimate reward of doing the Torah is not that you should live in a land that is very fertile, so that you should have a long life, so that you should be healthy. Rather, all of these things are there in order to help you with the ultimate good, which is to do more mitzvos. And if you do not keep the Torah, the punishment will be that all of these bad things will happen to you. To the point that you won't be able to do the mitzvos. That from all of the things that were going on, you're not able to serve Hashem. The Rambam interprets this pasuk in this context to tell us that a person cannot do the mitzvos if he's if there's lots of things going on. If you think about this, what it basically means the Torah is telling us is im asita ktsas mitzvos me'avo v'shtadlos, that if you do mitzvos, some of the mitzvos out of love and through hard work, I will help you do more. I will help you do all of them. And I will remove from upon you all of the things that bother you and all the things that prevent you. But if you forsake the mitzvos and you treat them disrespectfully, you disgrace them. I will bring you things in your life that will prevent you from doing the other mitzvos. And the ultimate result will be that you will not achieve that shleimus, that completion, and you will not have a continued existence in Olam Haba. And this is what the Mishnah in Avos tells us. Schar mitzvah is a mitzvah. Uschar aveira is an aveira. That the reward you get for doing a mitzvah is that you'll get more mitzvos. And the schar aveira that you'll get, the punishment you'll get for doing an aveira, is that it will lead you to more aveira, meaning it will prevent you from doing more mitzvos. Okay, the Rambam now has concluded this third section of his introduction to Parak Chelek, and he's told us that the ultimate good is Olam Haba, which is the continued existence after this world, where one experiences the ultimate reward and the ultimate tanug, which is knowledge and kirva, relationship with Hashem, and that the ultimate punishment is to not have that. And as part of that discussion, he has described to us how then we are to interpret and understand the promises of a good life and the threat of a troublesome life. How do we understand those parts of the Torah? Okay, in the next section, the Rambam is going to tell us now, well then what is Gan Eden? What is Gehenim? What's Tchias HaMeisim? What's Yimos HaMashiach? All those things that some people think are the definition of the ultimate good, and the Rambam is showing us those are not the ultimate good. Well, how do we define all of those? And that will be in our next year.